Speechwork Document 13. Individual Citizenship, the Basis of National Success. From an address delivered in York, Pennsylvania, October 4, 1906. This part of your great state is a veritable garden of the Lord. Passing through it today, I am impressed, as I always am impressed, when I pass through it, by its wonderful fertility, by the chances it opens to every man to do well materially, and therefore, if he chooses, to do well in the things that are not merely material. This old historic city of yours is now pulsing with a new life. It has become a great and growing manufacturing city. Your farm country round about is studded over with prosperous farms. And one thing I notice, in each farm the barn is bigger than the house, a good proof that the right kind of man owns the farm. When a farmer's barn is smaller than his house, then the farm is in danger. Your people here have won out. Your farmers have made their great success, largely, because they have proved true to the old proverb that you will see practically applied in all farming regions where there is a good percentage of German blood, and that is, however hard the year, lay up a little. If you do, you will find your sons ahead of the game. If you possess such an unhappy nature as to make you refuse to lay up a little, because you cannot lay up a great deal, then you will never lay up anything. It is true always and everywhere that an ounce of thrift and hard work is worth a great many pounds of envy of someone else and of statements of how well you could do, if conditions were a little bit different. There are plenty of apostles of discontent. There are plenty of men who will try to teach you that our social and industrial conditions are all wrong and must be completely overset. There is urgent need for betterment in a great many of our conditions. There is urgent need that we should each of us resolutely do his part in helping solve the great problems of the day, the problems that need governmental action. But we never can afford to forget that the most important factor in the success of this country is the factor of individual citizenship. I do not care if you had the most perfect laws that could be devised by the will of man or the will of angels, they would not amount to anything if the average man was not a pretty decent fellow, and I base my firm belief in the future of this country because I believe the average American is a pretty decent fellow. Nothing can take the place of the individual factor, of the average man's quality and character, his industry, his energy, his thrift, his decency, his determination to be a good man in his own home, a good neighbor, and a good citizen in his relations to the state. Of all men, distrust most the man who tries to incite one set of Americans against another set of Americans. What we have to demand of our neighbors, if we are true to our principles of citizenship here in this country, is not as to whether they are rich or poor, whether they live in the city or the country, the north or the south, the east or the west, but whether they are decent, hard-working, law-abiding Americans, trying to do their duty, as light is given them to see their duty. If they fulfill those requirements, then they have a right to claim comradeship with us and a right to challenge our support. The first factor in winning out in our national life must always remain the individual character. The man has to help himself first. Remember that there is nothing so very peculiar in running the state or the government. You need only apply the same principles to it that you do in your own life. Among your friends and neighbors, which one is it that wins success, the man who does his best with the tools at hand, or the man who is always sitting down and thinking that someone should give him a push along? No government can help that man who is always sitting down. Each one of us stumbles at times, and shame on any one of us who will not reach out a helping hand to his brother who stumbles. Help him in the only way that any real help can ever come. Help him to help himself. But if he lies down, it is of no use to try to carry him. Our immense industrial success, the very success which has made your quadru is and will make it so much bigger and more prosperous in the future, brings great problems. There is every reason why the government should exercise a constantly increasing supervision over and control of the great fortunes used in business, so as to see that the great corporations, the great fortunes generally that are used in business shall be so used as to be in the interest of and not against the interests of the ordinary people, the general public. Never for one moment permit that movement for the supervision of wealth, that movement to see that wealth is used aright, to degenerate into a movement of hatred and malice. Hatred and malice are mighty ugly sentiments, and are just as bad if you hate and envy a rich man, as if you hate and look down upon a poor man. The safe doctrine is to give each man fair play, and just a little more than fair play, if you can. In the effort to reform existing conditions, where they are wrong, in the effort to strive, for instance, to give a constantly increasing governmental supervision over the use of wealth in railroads, in big corporations, in all business, remember that our success is conditioned upon our neither being led astray by the reactionaries in one side, nor by the sinister or foolish extremists on the other. I want to see the relations of the government, representing the people as a whole, as regards the supervision and control of these great corporations, determined by the moderates, the plain men who merely want justice, who are resolute to see that the rich man does his duty and does not do anything wrong, but who are equally resolute to see that he does not have any injustice dealt out to him in return. No man is a true servant of the people if he does not always warn the people that those who take the sword shall perish by the sword, that the people who do injustice to any class of dozens must surely in the end suffer for doing that injustice. This government will succeed, because it shall never fall into such a pit as the republics of old fell into. This government shall not be a government by a plutocracy, and it shall not be a government by a mob. It is to be, and it shall be, a government by the plain people, where each man zealously guards his own rights and no less scrupulously remembers his duty and pays due regard to the rights of others, a government whose guiding principle is and shall be that each man, rich or poor, whatever his rank, whatever his occupation, whatever his creed, is to be judged solely on his worth and merits as a man.